And so if you can join me in Matthew, the 16th chapter, we were talking about a conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples. Again, I'm really excited. Again, I'm going to just say it again. I'm really excited about Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church. I'm excited about our pastor and first lady. I'm excited about the direction that we're going. We're just on fire for the Lord. And you know what? If you're in the Okmulgee, Oklahoma area, we want you to come to our church. We invite you to come to our church. We welcome you. Our church is full of love because we're full of Jesus. And let me tell you something, you are welcome, you are welcome. It doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what color you are, don't matter how much money is in your pocket, we welcome you. And we would be honored for you to visit us. And this evening, we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. And hopefully there's no mess ups on this. Hopefully everything works as planned here. So in Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting over in verse number 13, we read, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And like I was saying before, Jesus was very curious when it came to the disciples. He wanted to know who they thought that he was. And it's really important in today's time that you and I, my friends, know who Jesus is. I'm talking about Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus as our Messiah. Jesus our Savior. It's quite interesting in today's time why people will try to recognize that Jesus is my Savior, but yet they're still in their sins. They're still cussing. They're still using profanity. They're still slipping up. They're still creeping around. They're still cheating on their wives, cheating on their husbands. They're still drinking the same things that they drink out in the world. They're still doing the same dance that they did out in the world. They're still going to the same parties, doing the same thing. There's no change, but yet everybody wants to claim Jesus as their Savior. Now, am I mad this evening? Absolutely not. I just want to thank God for his goodness. Praise the Lord, Sister Fox. And one of these things I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be a little bit more interactive. So if you still have more questions, we're going to take it to the Word of God this evening, and I will try to answer as many questions as I possibly can. And even if you're watching the video after the fact and you have questions, I'm going to try my best to go ahead and answer those questions. But I'm going to allow the Word of God to answer those questions for you. I'm just a facilitator in some respects. So again, this evening, we're talking about the kingdom of God. There's some people who can't see the kingdom of God right now because they have not entered into the kingdom of God. According to St. John chapter number 3, you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. Some people haven't even been baptized. They haven't received his Spirit because they haven't repented. They haven't even repented yet because they are still in their sins. Some people just like doing, let's just be real. Some people just like doing what they're doing. Some people don't want to stop doing what they're doing. I'm talking to those individuals, you're sick and tired of doing what you've been doing. You're sick and tired of being bound in your sins, and you realize, I need a way of escape. I need a savior. I need a deliverer. I need somebody that can save me. I'm tired of doing the same old thing. I'm tired of this way. I'm tired of lusting and wanting things that are against the kingdom of God. I'm tired of that. And if that's you, then I'm talking to you this evening. Then I just want you to listen very closely this evening that the Lord loves you. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples in Matthew, the 16th chapter. We already established that because in verse number 13, in verse number 13, he asked his disciples, he's having a conversation with his disciples. But if you go on down into Matthew, the 16th chapter, and I want to say, go into verse 7, I'm sorry, I did this before. If you go on to verse number, again, let's talk about 13 real quick. And they said, and 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? Who do you think that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me stop right there. So Peter just had a revelation. This is no ordinary man. This is the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one of Israel that the prophets of old spoke of in the Old Testament. You are the one that Moses spoke about. You are the one that the great prophets Ezekiel spoke about. You are the awaited Messiah. You're finally here. I see you as you are. So Peter has this acknowledgement. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You came from God. You came out from God. You are the manifestation of God. You are the visible image of the invisible God. You are the Son of God. And so Peter acknowledged that this is the Christ. This is the anointed one. This is the Messiah. This is our deliverer. This is the one that can save us. But let me just remind everyone this evening that the Lord is not just the Lord in name only. He should be the Lord of our lives as well. King David acknowledged Psalm 23, verse number 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I acknowledge that I used to be a shepherd. I acknowledge that I used to look after sheep. But I can truly say that God, the Lord, is my shepherd, my Adonai, my master, my savior. He's my shepherd now. I shall not want. What that means is I'm not going to lack anything because I'm depending on the shepherd. I'm not going to be looking to the left. I'm not going to be looking to the right. I'm going to be looking straight at you, Jesus. I'm going to be full-heartedly depending on you. I don't want anything else. I don't want anyone else. I just want you, Jesus. I'm just depending on you, Jesus. Is there anyone this evening is fully depending on Jesus? You are fully depending on the shepherd. You're fully placing your trust in the shepherd. But what does the shepherd hold? He holds a rod. And the Bible says, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And another thing about the rod and thy staff, but it's equated to the word of God. That same thing that is used to lead the sheep is also used to discipline and correct the sheep as well, to keep us on track. You think that the shepherd may hate you right now. The Lord doesn't hate you. But the Lord does hate sin. And if you look in the book of Jude, now there is no scripture that says the Lord loves the sinner but hates the sin. It doesn't plainly say that, but it does equate to that. You can find that concept in scripture. You can look at it in Jude about pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You can read St. John chapter number 3, verse number 16, and you can read about how how God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So there is a plan for you, and there is a plan for me. And you don't have to stay stuck and dead in your sins any longer. You don't have to do that. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Every time we sin against God, you are actually going to a time clock. And you're putting your time in. But you better remember, payday is coming after a while. You're going to have to pay for those sins. Well, wouldn't it be better, my friends, my brothers and sisters, if you allowed the Lord to allow the sin and the death that would have happened to us, that would have happened to me in hell, to be placed on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And yet he paid for our sins. He died so that you and I can be free. That means I ain't got to go around creeping. Amen. I got one wife. and I thank God for Sister Pope. And she got one husband. And I don't have to do like all these other folks doing. All these other folks, they cheating and creeping and tiptoeing around, and they get up in the pulpit and they act like ain't nothing wrong. There is something wrong. That stuff is fake. Talking about what you know about Jesus, he's all right. He's not all right in your sins. Get it together, saints of God. Now, I'm not yelling at nobody, and I don't hate you, but God does hate sin. He hated it so much that he gave his son because he loved us so much, he wanted us to be saved. I see your sister, Sister Pat and Sister Woodwork. God bless you. Let's get into this. It's getting some good stuff. We're still in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and we're looking at verse number 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In verse number 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou." Look at that. You are blessed. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona. Notice that there is nothing in Scripture on accident. The writer, I believe it was in 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John, the writer talked about how there are so many things that Jesus did. There are so many works that there are not even enough books to contain all the things that Jesus did. So think about this. If there are not enough books to contain all the things that Jesus did, what do we do with the Bible? How do we acknowledge the Bible? Well, then, my friends, we would acknowledge the Bible as a summary, right? Which means that everything that we see in Scripture is not accidentally placed in Scripture. Think about this. If we have a summary of the things contained of the works of Jesus Christ, that means that everything that's written, everything that's mentioned in the Word of God has some significance. It has some value. So look at this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Whenever you look at the word bar in Scripture in the New Testament, bar just represents son of. So Simon, son of Jonah. Why did he mention his father? Why did he mention his daddy? I have an idea. I have an opinion on this, but it's based on the Word of God. Check this out. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon." In other words, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." In other words, this is so you have a revelation, Peter, that your father didn't give you. You have a revelation that no book gave you. Gamaliel didn't tell this to you. No prophet, nobody, no, nobody gave this to you, but God gave this to you. And my friends, there are some things in this life that only the revelation of God can reveal it. Now, sometimes we can try to learn, hopefully. You know, that's some things I try to teach my kids. I want them to learn the easy way. I try to teach them. And I am known for giving like hours of hours of lectures and hours of talking, because I want them to understand that there's an easier way. You don't have to learn the hard way. If you can just learn this way, this is the more easier way. But lo and behold, you know how children are. Sometimes instead of listening to their parents, the mother or their father, they venture out and they begin to do the things against what their mother or their father said, only to find themselves in the same predicament that their mother or their father told them or warned them about entering into the first place. And now, my friends, what do they have to suffer? Well, now they have to learn the hard way. This is what we tried to warn them against. This is what we tried to prepare them against. And so we're no different in Scripture. Sometimes the pastor can tell us things. Sometimes the evangelist can tell us something. Sometimes the ministers, the elders can share something. Sometimes our brothers and sisters can share, and the Lord is speaking straight through them. And yet we refuse to hear them. And there are some situations that we put ourselves in. And the Lord says, okay, you wouldn't hear them, so now you're really about to learn. And there's some things that we enter and we learn through experience. Now, we, you know, if there was a better way, the Lord would have showed us, and hopefully we would have received that better way. But you know how it is. But anyway, back to Simon Peter. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know, sometimes I truly believe that as an apostolic Pentecostal, there are certain things that I've learned. There are certain things that I've been taught. I know about the oneness of God. I know about the Godhead. I'm well educated that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Jesus. And Jesus just doesn't, he's not just one person that dwells in a Godhead. In other words, he's not just one of three, which would make it a polytheism or some sort of what they call a Trinity. No, that's not it at all. But I'm well versed in Scripture, according to Colossians, that, you know, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Jesus. I'm fully versed on what Jesus has done for me. I'm fully versed on repentance, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the reception and the receiving of the Holy Ghost, the speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance, and the distinction of the gift of the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues and the gift of tongues that you need an interpreter. I know there's a difference. I know about the fruits of the Spirit. I know about the gifts of the Spirit. I know all these things, but guess what? These things had to be taught to me by God. These things, you and I, my brothers and sisters, have to be taught by God. And God uses the people of God, the teachers, the evangelists, you know, the church to convey these things. So these are things that we learn, but notice, but my Father, which is in heaven. So God is the one who's giving the revelation. We have to learn how to receive the revelation. Y'all pray, because I'm trying to bring this across. I'm trying to bring my point across. My point is that sometimes if I'm not careful, I can allow the flesh to take over. And I could allow, and this is the kind of foolishness that I used to be wrapped up in when I first got saved. Excuse me. Where the Lord would be showing me all these things, and I thought, and we could think that the Lord gives us these ideas and this revelation just so we can argue with somebody who doesn't believe like us. And so now we want to argue. Now we want to debate because we have the spirit of the world. Look at the world. Nobody's listening to one another. Look at every issue. On every issue, it's always fighting. It's always ad hominem attacks. It's always somebody else tearing somebody else down. It's always everybody attacking one another because they have the spirit of the adversary. There's people also in the so-called unquote a church who have this same spirit, and they think that they're on a mission just to go ahead and attack everything, everyone, and it's not of God. But I thank God for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's already here. Won't you enter into the kingdom of God? Won't you listen to the man and woman of God? Won't you repent of your sins? Aren't you tired of living that old sinful life? Aren't you tired of keep on doing the same things over and over again? So you keep on smoking, you keep on drinking, you keep it up, you keep on gambling, you keep on womanizing, you keep on cheating, you keep on not being a father to your kids, you keep on not being a mother to your kids, you keep on being dishonest, you keep on going around, messing around, living ungodly lifestyles, living in all sorts of different types of strange ways that are not of God. You keep on doing these things. You keep on playing against God. You keep on this. Aren't you tired? Don't you just want to give it up? Well, if you do, there is a better way. The truth of the matter is, there's some folks who don't want to give it up. And that's who we're having a fight out of in the world. That's who doesn't want to be a part of this. That's why the church is being attacked, because there is spiritual wickedness in high places that is coming against the church. Oh, my friends, it's going to get much worse than this. And why am I saying this with a smile on my face? Because I have the Spirit of God. Now, it's easy to say right now while I'm living in luxury compared to maybe most rest of the world. It's easy to say things, but the Lord has shown me through tests that's not always going to be this way. There's going to be sometimes we're going to be fully dependent, and there's going to be some things that are going to be taken away just so we can be fully dependent on the things of God, on God himself. So there is a better way, and that name is Jesus. You don't have to live like that. Aren't you tired of that? You need the Holy Ghost. You might say, well, I already have the Holy Ghost. I know you have the Holy Ghost, but you need to be led by the Holy Ghost. You need to have that thing broken. And you know what? I thank God. I thank God for spiritual men and women of the Lord. I thank God for the church. Don't you know, if you want something broken, you can call for the elders of the church. You can call for the ministers and the evangelists. We can pray. We can get a prayer through. We can fast with you. We can pray. And don't you know, that thing has got to go. That spirit has got to leave. That yoke has got to be broken. You can have deliverance. You can have your healing. But you have to have the audacity to ask for it sometimes. Sometimes that's just what the Lord is waiting for. Saints, I'm waiting for a healing. Won't you pray for me? And that thing, the prayer of faith, shall save the sick, shall heal the sick, and your sins shall be forgiven from the Lord. Oh, my friends, I don't have the power to forgive sins, but the Lord does. Let's look at this. In verse number 18, I'm coming out of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse number 18. And yes, this is during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, during the death, before the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus is also saying, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, why does he say that? You know, there are many beliefs, and there's a different faith that actually believes that that rock was Peter, that Peter was that rock. But my friends, Peter was not that rock. Why do I know this? Well, because we're going to look through scripture and we're going to see that Peter was not the rock that Jesus was talking about, even though Peter's name in itself does mean stone. They're talking about Cephas, which is another word, another name for Peter. But Jesus was acknowledging that the revelation that Peter had, that revelation, that is what the church is going to be built on, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And my friends, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, how can you rightly say that you are in the church? How can you rightly say that you're building on the church of Jesus Christ when he himself says, upon this rock, the rock of the revelation, the rock of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you know who Jesus is, not just to debate, not just so I can argue with a Trinitarian and tell him or her about who the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost really is. That the Lord didn't just save me for that. The Lord didn't save me just so I can shout my church bylaws and equate them just like a sport, or just like an NFL or an NBA team raises up their mascot. God is more than a mascot. He came to save us. He came to deliver you. He came to set you free. He came to strengthen you and I. But will we let him? So, no, Acts 2:38 is more to me than just a bumper sticker. Acts 2:38 is a scripture that I embrace because it reminds me that he came down here to save me from my sins, and that I can be baptized in his name for the forgiveness, hallelujah, of all my sins. In other words, I now have the capability to live sin-free in Jesus. As long as I'm led by the Spirit, I don't have to do any willful sin any longer, because now I have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will clean you up. The Holy Ghost will wash you up. The Holy Ghost will turn your mind around. The Holy Ghost will set you free. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go into this. Is getting good, right? And like I said in verse number 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So if he was just talking about Peter, like a lot of people think that, again, a lot of religions, a lot of different belief systems believe that Jesus was just talking to Peter, and that on the office or the bishopric or the unique office of Peter, that the succession of popes, each one who carries this unique office, them and them alone are supposed to have this unique office to bind and loose. In other words, what's bound in heaven, let's read this, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, some people have the audacity, and this is where I believe the apostles were prophesying about people who have crept in unawares. After the apostles had left the scene, and you during the first, second, and third centuries, where people crept in unaware, and they began to take up, quote unquote, the office of Peter, and now they call themselves the popes or this, that, and the other, and they believe that, okay, anything that I say in the office of a pope, okay, no pun intended, my last name is Pope, but anything that I say in the office of a pope is automatically equivalent to Scripture. So if we look in history, if the Pope says that Mary is sinless, then guess what? Mary's sinless, because everything that the Pope says must be equivalent to Scriptures. And that is not right. That is false doctrine. That's not what the Bible was talking about when he was talking about whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What does that mean? That means the church is established. And if you are born into the church here down on earth, you are born into the church in heaven. If you live an unsaved and an ungodly lifestyle here down here on earth, my friends, your status in heaven will also be ungodly and unsaved. So whatever you establish here on earth is going to be established in heaven. But it's not going to be by the opinion of some random individual who has a sinful nature and who has not yet allowed the Holy Ghost to lead and guide their thinking. The Holy Ghost has power to clean your conscience and your mind. When you have the real Holy Ghost in you, you are not just going to do anything. In fact, the Holy Ghost in you is going to be enraged at sin. You're not going to be comfortable with sin. You're not going to be comfortable with people cussing around you, using all types of ungodly language and music around you. It's going to do something to your spirit, because the spirit of the world and the spirit that you have is contrary to one another. But you look at them old weak folks. You look at them old weak folks, carnal-minded babes. All they want to do is hang around the world. All they want to do is dress like the world, be like the world, act like the world. You are the world, because you have the spirit of the world, but you need to come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from the world. I know that as long as we are in the world, we shouldn't be of the world. So it is possible to be in this present world, but not be of the world. Look, my friends, I'm not talking about you. I don't hate you. I love everybody because Jesus loves everybody. But the Lord is not going to accept our sins into heaven like that. We have to get rid of that. And in fact, every time we embrace sin, every time we embrace that lifestyle, and I'm talking about the sins that are known, and I'm talking about the secret sins, the type of sins that are done in the midnight hour, when the lights are out, when the creeping, I'm talking about all the secret things, thinking about killing our neighbors and thinking about doing them wrong, thinking about retaliating, thinking about getting them back. The Lord said it's not so. You got to be saved from your mind. The Lord has a new mind for you. God can give you a new mind. You don't have to think like that. All that cussing. Excuse my French. That's not French. That's not French. Well, I slipped. No, you didn't slip. Jesus said, what comes out of a man's mouth comes from his heart. That stuff was in your heart. You need to go on a fast. You need to give that to the Lord. Well, he made me do that. No, he didn't. No, she didn't make you do that. What about the Holy Ghost? What about what the Holy Ghost could do for you? What about the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost can make you do? Well, Brother Pope is talking about me. Well, I don't know anyone's personal life. And if you feel like somebody done told me something, it's not true. I don't talk about people behind their backs unless it's good. That's the one stipulation. Yes, I do talk about people behind their back only if it's good. That's what I do. But no, if you're listening to this message tonight, that means you need to hear it, whoever you are. And so we go into thou. I will give unto thee. So the church now has the keys to bind and loose. That's why when we baptize, that's serious business. You are being inducted into the kingdom of God. You are being obedient to the words of Jesus Christ. You are being born of the water and hopefully the spirit. And so this is not something we just play around. I know there's a lot of folks who are not living to the standards of God. Let God sort it out. You know, I thank God for this message this evening, because God is not, and I'm at my half an hour mark, so I know it's just about 8:24. I'm going to keep rolling. So if you have to end at 8:30, I'm just going to keep rolling, and you can perhaps watch this at a later time. But I owe it to the church to be obedient and to do my full hour. And I do apologize for the technical difficulty earlier. I try to get this right. I just didn't want to minimize the word of God on my account. So my apologies, but I have to, I feel compelled to teach the full hour. And again, if you can't view it all in one sitting, that's okay. That's why we have Facebook. So we have capabilities to go back and watch. But back to what I was saying about the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost isn't given to me just so I can speak in tongues and that's it. Excuse me. No, when I received the Holy Ghost, I knew I received the Holy Ghost because I was speaking in an unknown tongue, just like the apostles did, just like the Gentiles did, just like the apostles did in Acts, the second chapter. Just like the Gentiles did in Acts, the 10th chapter. Just like the group of the followers of John the Baptist did in Acts, the 19th chapter. So I'm following after the New Testament church. I'm not going amiss. I'm not going out of my mind. I know well. I know who I am and I know whose I am. So whatever you bind here on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed here on earth is loosed in heaven. If you're not saved here on this earth, you ain't saved in heaven, according to the scriptures. Okay, so I'm looking at, and again, I'm looking at the comments. I invite questions. I'm going to try to be more interactive, and I invite your questions, and I will try to answer them in real time. I just feel the leading of the Lord, and I know that sometimes there's some hard questions. Well, what about people in other countries? You know, my kids ask all the tough questions. What about people in all the other countries, and what about the babies, and what about this and that? Well, let me answer that. I'm asking the question. I'm going to answer the question. So I'm not God. I don't have the power to judge. I don't have the power to put anyone in hell. What I can do, and as a power that is invested in me as a child of God in the church, I have certain, I can't put anybody in hell and I can't put anybody in heaven. But the Bible does say, the Bible does say as what we do have is the word of God. And the word of God is going to judge in the end. And so what I can say is if the gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost. And we'll come back to Matthew, but let's look at that. If the gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost. And that is found in, bear with me, saints. Okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So if there's someone that does not have the gospel, according to the word of God, they are lost. Now, does that mean that they're automatically going to go to hell? I'm not a judge. To somebody who has never heard the word of God, who has never heard the preached word of God, all I know is according to Romans, when we read in Romans, the Apostle Paul says that the Jewish people as a nation, historically, they were given the oracles of God and that they are judged by the law according to the Old Testament. And because they judge themselves by the law, they've come up short because them by themselves find themselves as transgressors. Remember where we were talking earlier about everyone being born in sin. So the Jewish people, according to the Apostle Paul, according to in the Old Testament, if they're trying to live by the Old Testament or by the Hebrew canon, they find themselves as lawbreakers, as sinners, as someone who is in need of a savior because them by themselves, their own righteousness is still judged by the law. What the law did was it defines sin. Okay, when the law says thou shalt not do this and you do it, you are now a transgressor of the law, and you are now someone who is expecting a punishment because that when you break a law, there has to be a consequence. And so that goes for the Jewish people. When it comes to a Gentile, I consider myself a Gentile, one who by the flesh am not Jewish. And Paul says, well, now you Gentiles are not off the hook either, because even though to you Gentiles historically were not given the oracles of God, you have what is known as a conscience. And whenever you do wrong, your conscience is going to let you know that you should have did the right thing. And so you have the Jewish people that are judged by the law. You have the Gentiles who are judged by the conscience. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, everyone, Jewish people and Gentile people together, you are all in need of a Savior. And that is Jesus Christ. He's the one who fulfilled the law. He is the New Testament. He's the one that provided the New Testament. So now I still walk by the law. The only difference is the law is in the Spirit. So the Spirit of the law is in me, in Jesus Christ, and I walk in Him now. I walk in the Spirit, and by me following after the Spirit, because Jesus took the punishment of sin on Golgotha's hill, on that crucifixion, and He suffered so that I didn't have to go to hell and suffer, and I receive a sacrifice, and I accept that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, so much so that I had to repent of all my sins. And I told the Lord that I'm sorry. Hallelujah. And I had to turn around. I had to do a 180, and I had to turn my back on sin. Hallelujah. And I was commanded to be baptized in, somebody's eyes might go wide open. I was commanded to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, Brother Pope, what you say? That's the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when I was baptized in Jesus' name, for the remission of sins, the removal of sins, Jesus forgave me for every last sin that I've ever done. And then I, hallelujah, and then I had to call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I began to call upon the name of Jesus. I began to call on Him because I wanted His Spirit that was promised to me. And lo and behold, Saturday, September 9th, around 7:15 p.m. in Akron, Ohio, 1995, this 17-year-old who used to be 17-year-old was calling on the name of Jesus. And the Lord filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I began to speak in uncontrollable, in an unknown tongue. Let me just say it like that. I didn't understand what I was actually saying, but I knew that the Lord had filled me with the Holy Ghost, because I was trying to speak in English and something fluent was coming out. I knew that the Lord had filled me. And when I opened up my eyes, hallelujah, when I opened up my eyes, I felt like I was brand new. Y'all don't understand what I've been through. Hallelujah. You don't understand my struggle. When you're tired of living in your sin like I was, hallelujah. I had people, you know, I was a young man. I had offers to go ahead and sell dope. I could have did that. There was a young man that I was about to go ahead and sell dope with, and he ended up shooting somebody in the face with a shot-off shotgun, and he ended up getting a lethal injection in the state of Ohio. It was in the papers and everything. I was running with that crowd, and I almost was going to do that. And there were things that were going on all around me. There was drugs, crack cocaine all around me in the neighborhood, all everywhere that you could think of. And I was about to go crazy. I was about to lose my mind, but I knew that there had to be a God. My grandfather on my mother's side had just passed away, and I started thinking, this just can't be all there is to life. What happened to the spirit that was in him? Just 2 weeks prior, he was talking to me on the telephone. 2 weeks prior, he was asking about me. 2 weeks prior, he was talking to me, and now I was looking at his lifeless body in the casket, my own flesh and blood, my grandfather, and I knew, okay, Lord, I'm tired of living this life. I know his spirit went somewhere. His spirit went somewhere, and I know that it had to go to you, Lord, because you are the Father of spirits. You are God Almighty. You are the what they call the you are the Almighty Everlasting Father. and I begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that night I received the Holy Ghost. I ran. I remember opening up my eyes, feeling brand new. The feeling that I had when I first received the Holy Ghost, I didn't want to do anything wrong. I didn't want to do anything wrong. I didn't have to be in front of anybody else. Even when I was in secret, I still felt the presence of God, and I still felt that. And that's what is missing, brothers and sisters. When you have the Holy Ghost, the presence of God is with you, is in you. And that's why we don't do anything wrong, we don't want to do anything wrong, is because we know that the Lord sees everything. I got some people, why didn't you just do this? Why didn't you, ain't nobody looking, you can just, no, I can't. I remember working in corrections in Akron, Ohio. And I remember one of the residents saying, well, James, why don't you just go ahead and give me this extra thing over here? This extra, ain't nobody looking. I was like, I will not do that. That's wrong. I will not do. Well, who's going to say anything? I said, I'm not doing it. And then they started making fun of me. Well, you only get paid so amount an hour. I said, it's not about the money. I said, it's about God. I said, I don't just work for a wage. You and I, brothers and sisters, when we're on these jobs, we don't just work for wages. We work unto the Lord. Well, they don't pay me enough. No child of God should ever say something like, they don't pay me enough. If you got hired on that job, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to uphold the contract. Because our yeas are supposed to be yea and our nays are supposed to be nay. When we said yes, we are going to be compliant. Now, again, if it's something that's counterproductive to the law, that's different because that's going against the things of God. But I'm saying you see trash on the floor, we pick that trash up. We see things that need to be done on that job, we do it. Well, they only pay me $4.25 an hour. They only pay me. That's not the point. You got hired. You and I got hired for a job. We got to do it as unto the Lord. The rest of the world, they work for wages. Well, they don't pay me enough. Maybe if you paid me more, I would do more. No, that should not be the mentality. Anyway, that's not where I'm going with this. I want to go back to Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse number 1. Let's go there. Matthew, the 18th chapter. And again, I know that we're going way past time. I wanted to make sure that I do a full hour. I'm only on the eight. I got 18 more minutes, so that gives me a little bit more time. I'm happy about the Word of God, saints. I love the Word of God, aren't you? I fell in love with the Word of God. I fell in love with prayer. I fell in love with my Savior, Jesus Christ. I love Him. He saved me. I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything. You know what the Lord said for me to do? He said for me to love you. So I'm going to love you with the love of the Lord. I may not know you, but I love you out there. And if you're struggling right now, there's a better way. And that way is Jesus. In Matthew, the 18th chapter. Go ahead and look here. I love this, is getting good right here. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse number 1. Oh, this is some good stuff right here. Look at this again. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So I just wanted to establish that here in scripture, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. Okay. Now we're going to go to Matthew, the 18th chapter. If you just go on down to the 18th verse, that's Matthew 18:18. And it says, verily I say unto you, again, isn't this familiar? Verily I say unto you, he's talking to disciples, right? Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see, here he's not just talking to Peter. He's talking to all the disciples. So if someone is saying, the office of Peter or the office of a pope, that was just referring to him. Well, now you're seeing scriptures where he's talking to the disciples. And then ultimately he's talking to us, the church. So whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Well, you might say, well, what in the world does that mean? That means that the authority that spiritual leaders have in our churches, that not only them, but the authority that the church has a great authority, because they hold the authority of Jesus Christ, because judgment must first start in the household of God. That means oh, I'm not going to listen to the pastor. I'm just going to listen to God. No, the Lord is speaking through the pastor. If you have a spiritual leader, the Lord is speaking through your brother and sister. If you have a spiritual brother and sister, so whatever's bound on earth is bound in heaven. Well, I ain't going to listen to them. Well, is what my brother's saying scriptural? And if I disobey my brother who's in the scriptures, I'm disobeying God. I'm not going to listen to him. I once heard somebody say, well, I'm not going to listen to anybody. I'm just going to wait for God to tell me. He knows where I'm at. You know what? I wouldn't even play that kind of game. You know how many folks just are leaving this world quickly? I'm only down here for a little time. That's it. So again, I say unto you, in verse number 19, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So it's all going back to what the pastor preached on Sunday, talking about that glory, the glory of God, and that present, the presence of God that's in us. That's the reason I do what I do. Now, we do have benefits. Now, think about it. I spoke about this in a previous Bible class as well. On my job, I might get recognized for having good attendance. And if you look really closely, the only reason I was on time to it, maybe major appointments or whatever, was because of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, no, you need to leave early. You need to prepare. You need to be on time. Yes, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to be obedient. And because I was obedient to the Holy Ghost, I went to my job and they may recognize me for my attendance. Or what about my job performance? We don't just do things on our job just to be recognized here on this earth. I'm not just doing this for some money. No, I mean, that's a wage that I get paid so that I can take care of me and my family. But we do, there's something bigger at stake. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God that we're in. There's something greater at stake. You know, I even talking with the kids, maybe at first when I came into the church, I got scared. I didn't want to miss the rapture. Rapture is just a Latin term that just means being caught up, which is very scriptural. It's going to happen. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Those who are dead shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall meet them to be caught up with the Lord in the air. I don't want to be down here. And I was scared to death. there's some old movies we were watching last night. There's an old movie called A Thief in the Night. And yeah, it's a little bit outdated, but you know, some of those things in that movie are real. Some of those things in that movie were talking about real concepts, real things that are happening now and things that are going to happen later in the future. And not everything in the Bible, I believe, you have preterists, I think I said that right. Most of the time, they believe that everything in the Bible has already been fulfilled. Well, no, there's still some things that are yet to be done, like the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of judgment, you know, the millennial kingdom, all these different things we are waiting for. Yes, I do believe that some of it was fulfilled in Bible times 2,000 years ago, but yet there are scriptures that are still being fulfilled today. Now, does that mean that there are some people that just go extreme with it. Everything, you know, there's some numerics, everything's a number. I do believe that numbers carry a certain weight, but not everything, you know. And there are some people that distinctly say, okay, this thing has to mean that. If you notice, I stay away from all that. I love eschatology and last days, and I look into that stuff. I thank God for it. I love the book of Revelation. There's a whole lot that I don't know. But I stay away from absolutes unless there is a direct scripture stating this is that X equals three, so to speak. In other words, the scripture has got to say this, or there's got to be a combination of scriptures that will give you an impression to let you know that it couldn't possibly mean anything else. Because what we do is we confuse people when we say that this is that, when it's really not that, or we're really not sure. And then when something happens, you're in trouble. Like all these people that predicted the coming of the Lord on a certain date. And then once that date comes around, Now they got to think of another excuse. So we have to be careful with end time prophecies and stuff. That's why I just stick to the scriptures. If I don't know something, I don't know it unless the Lord reveals something. Sometimes I'll pray and the Lord will just put it in there, and then there'll be scriptures that back it up. But again, let's get to the scriptures, right? Because that's what we're reading. They call this a pericope, right? The pericope is nothing more than just a set of scriptures that you read it in one sitting, you know. In this in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse number 19, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that, check that out. He said on earth. He wasn't talking about later. He wasn't talking about in your glorified body. He wasn't talking about after the rapture, after you're caught up, after we're in the presence of the direct presence of God. He was talking about here right now on this present earth. That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. But you've got to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. Oh, brother, I want you to come over here and pray over this money for me. No, I'm not talking about that. Pray over this house so I can get a big house. Not talking about that. Pray over this car. I want a big car. You're praying amiss. What about the things concerning the kingdom of God? I want to see some folks healed. If just two people can touch and agree, it's got to be done in Jesus' name. How can it not be done? Have you ever prayed and was in the presence of God? Have you ever prayed one of those prayers that was so covered by the anointing of God that you were so heavy in the depths of his spirit, just praying and seeking the face of God so much that you didn't even have to open up your eyes to see angels camped around your bedside or angels camped around your home? You knew it. Because you could feel the presence of God. That's what I'm talking about. If two people, I'm getting excited. If two people, only two, that's what kind of power we have. We got power to live holy and live right. You and I, my friends, we can live a holy life on this present world right now. Why? Because Jesus has to occupy. He's the Lord of my life. And when the Lord is the Lord of your temple, he's the Lord of every room. And that's what I was telling the saints during one of the Sunday school classes. I'm just being real with y'all. I am continually discovering new rooms that I'm unsure if the Lord is actually the Lord over those rooms in my heart. And I'm continually declaring that room, the Lord is going to be the Lord over that room. I'm continually finding out about myself. You know, isn't that something? I just want to be transparent. You know, I'm just trying to live right. I haven't always been this strong at all. But I thank God I'm strong now. I'm just trying to live right. And hopefully there's some things that are said this evening that can help you, that can help us make it. You don't have to live like that. Well, Brother Pope, you talked about what can we do? You said we can't wear this, we can't wear that, we can't say this, we can't say that. Well, what can you do? You can live holy. There's plenty of things we can do in church that are exciting, that aren't going against scriptures, that are not going against the things of God. They're exciting. It's fulfilling, that are wonderful, that are according to the plan of God. It doesn't have to be boring. Ask the Lord to move that boredness from your mind. Sometimes we're bored because we have the old mind. Ask the Lord for a new mind. You can't think with an old mind. You can't think with that carnal mind. You can't think like that. Ask the Lord to take that old mind out and give you a new mind. You need an update. The Lord will give you an update. He'll give you a new mind. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new prayer. You can pray and you can just be at ease because you know you haven't done anything wrong to anybody throughout the day. And if you have done, you're asking the Lord, Lord, bring it back to my remembrance so I can repent for that thing and get myself right. We've got power, saints. Now, I've only got about five more minutes. So I'm going to follow suit. I don't know why this is. My brother, Elder Brian, I think he touched on this when he preached. He went into the book of Acts, and I just feel compelled to go here in the book of Acts. And for those of you who really, really, really are like truly like just captivated by the scriptures, you love the word of God, I think that you'll appreciate this. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, I'm going to go to, I think I'm probably going to go to where he covered in Acts, the second chapter, verse, let's see here. I want to go to, because we covered this in previous Bible classes and previous sermons, but I want to cover after. We want to cover after in verse number 39, after Acts 2:38. We always talk about Acts 2:38 a lot of times, but we talk about after. Again, when we come out of the book of Acts, it's believed the book wrote the, it's believed that Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he was addressing Theophilus and ultimately to the church. Acts, when we talk about the book of Acts, Acts is referring to the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Or Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing when you look it up. Pneuma, it just means the same thing. And Acts, the second chapter, verse number 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Somebody out there is probably thinking, no, you ain't talking about me, Brother Pope. You don't know what I've done. You might, maybe you're addicted to crack cocaine. Maybe you're addicted to secret things. Maybe you have a compulsion spirit. Maybe you're addicted to prescribed medication. And maybe you sell it for, you sell it illegally for some change. Don't you know that's wrong? God can deliver you from that. You know, there's a lot of people who are hooked and addicted to prescribed medication. You know, we just talk, a lot of times we just talk about methamphetamines and crack cocaine addiction and alcoholism. But no, you can be hooked on a lot of other things too, and that's not the will of God. God doesn't want you to live like that. Don't you want to be free? God can set you free. Now, I believe that God can set you free instantaneously, and I believe that God can heal instantaneously. And I also believe that God can heal gradually as well. That's why I believe we go to the church, because there's a lot of healing that takes place. Not all of it, I believe, is instantaneous. I do believe that there's some healing that is gradual. And with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You got to save yourself. If you're waiting for mommy to get saved, daddy to get saved, sister to get saved, brother to get saved, this gospel, this is one of those, this is the time now where you just got to step up and say, no, I got to do it. And if you're listening to the words and I'm saying, but Brother Pope, you don't understand. I'm in a church that doesn't teach what you're teaching. I'm in a church, they don't look like you, Brother Pope. Maybe you're in a church, they're predominantly white. Maybe they're predominantly Asian. Maybe they speak a different language. Maybe they don't teach what I'm teaching now. What I'm saying is don't take my word for it. If you feel something different right now and you feel the Spirit of God, that's what that is. That's the Spirit of God. I want you to look into it. Look for yourself. Read the scriptures for yourself. Ask plenty of questions. Put it on the, go back, after you're done reading this, go into the Facebook, ask questions on Facebook. I'll go back and I'll answer those questions for you according to scripture. And in verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And in verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So the Lord expects us to fellowship. You know, I'm an introvert. I'm a bad introvert. And I'm still struggling with that. I'm still struggling to break out of that. It's been the Holy Ghost that has allowed me to break through my shell. But you have to be, no, they say no man is an island. That's not a scripture or anything. But we have to learn how to fellowship with one another. We have to learn how to get along with one another. My job is, right now, I want you to be strong in the Lord. And in order to, for me to conversate with you, we have to talk. We have to have some type of communication. And so if you struggle like I do with that, maybe you're shy, the Lord will work with you. I used to be shy. I didn't know what to say. The Lord will work with you on these things. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's where we get the word apostolic. The word apostolic is not in scripture, but the word apostles is, because our doctrine is of the apostles. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So we also, in breaking of bread, and in fellowship, and in prayer. So the Lord anticipates and expects us to pray. The Lord anticipates and expects us to fellowship. And the Lord anticipates and expects us to break bread with one another, to see about one another. And that's what the Holy Ghost will do for you and I. So let's be excited about the kingdom of God. I know we had a lot of technical difficulty earlier, and I'm going to have to work on that. I am truly sorry about that. I'll get it together. But I just want you to know that you are loved. But I'm going to tell you something. That sin is unacceptable in his sight. Why not give it to the Lord? Why not ask the Lord for forgiveness? And the Lord can clean us up. So my friends, let's just strive to do better. Let's just strive for the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's press toward the mark. And you know what? God is going to bless ultimately. So thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you for watching. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for allowing this broadcast to go forth. We pray that people are able to watch and listen and to gain something from it, Lord. I pray that I did justice to this by presenting your word, by teaching it according to your will. In Jesus' name, we pray that somebody may repent, be baptized in your name, receive your spirit, and live a whole life of holiness afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my friends. That people are able to watch and listen and to gain something from it, Lord. I pray that I did justice to this by presenting your word, by teaching it according to your will. In Jesus' name, we pray that somebody may repent, be baptized in your name, receive your spirit, and live a whole life of holiness afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my friends.